In 1925, an advertising executive named Bruce Barton published a book that would become a national bestseller. It was entitled The Man Nobody Knows. It is a decidedly 20th century recasting of that man from Nazareth. This book illustrates wonderfully what Albert Schweitzer had observed some 20 years earlier in his classic work, The Quest of the Historical Jesus. Schweitzer insisted that all biographies of Jesus tell you more about the biographer than about Jesus. Indeed, this book tells us a lot about Bruce Barton. About Jesus, not so much. Now, he was the son of a congregational pastor, and Bruce Barton then became an executive in what was a new industry called advertising. In fact, Barton became one of advertising's prominent pioneers. He came up with the concept of Betty Crocker, the iconic woman baker. He also proposed the name for this new automobile consortium, General Motors. And on a roll, he dreamed up the name for a new electronics firm, General Electric. Evidently, he liked the word general. I wonder if he came up with the name for General Mills. Barton even gave the Salvation Army its motto, "A man may be down, but he is not out." So during the Roaring Twenties, this successful businessman wrote a biography about Jesus. And not surprisingly, Barton made Jesus into, are you ready for it? A successful businessman. And sure enough, Jesus uses all the successful business models of surrounding himself with people that in which he saw great potential. He told brief, engaging stories that captured people's imagination. And for Barton, all the parables were really advertisements for the kingdom of God. The parable of the Good Samaritan, of course, being the best ad of all time. Barton suggested that there were four traits of Jesus that made him captivating. First, Jesus had the power to create health in people who were ill. Second, his strong personality was, according to Barton, very appealing to women because women do not like weakness. Okay? Third, he loved being outdoors. And fourth, Jesus had steel-like nerves and courage. Now, as I consider those four attributes, I must admit that two of them have never once occurred to me. This is the reason Jesus was appealing to women, because he did not exhibit weakness? Is that what women want? And the fact that Jesus was an outdoors kind of guy? It's never crossed my mind. Now, at the beginning of this book, Barton describes the Jesus he learned about in Sunday school, and this is critical. Jesus seemed to pale into a weakling compared to, say, Daniel fending off attack in the lion's den, or David launching a smooth stone right into Goliath's forehead. For young Barton, Jesus, quote, had no muscles and a sad expression. This Jesus was in his mind, quote, sissified, all too meek and lowly. So the adult Barton gave us a hard-driving Jesus who turns out to be the best businessman of all time. The Man Nobody Knows is the greatest advertiser ever for the kingdom of God. In short, a manly Jesus for the Roaring Twenties. So that's the man Barton says nobody knows. In all honesty, it's a Jesus I hardly recognize. During the many years I taught a course at UNM entitled Jesus in the Gospels, I would ask my students on the first night to write a one-page paper, and in that paper I asked them to describe to Martians who just landed exactly who Jesus really is. So how would you describe Jesus in a one-page summary? I would take up the papers. We'd have 4 months of study together, and then I would give the papers back to them on the last night of class. It's interesting what a serious study of Jesus will do for your perceptions of Jesus. In many respects, Jesus is still the man nobody knows. Why? Because we all see Jesus from our own perspective, through our own prejudice, through our own lenses. Whenever we think we know about Jesus, it's always filtered through our prejudices and our preconceptions. Like Bruce Barton, who wanted a manly Jesus for the Roaring Twenties. And I think the same problem confronted Cleopas and his friend walking back from Jerusalem, a 7-mile hike to their hometown. They were talking about what happened to Jesus, and they are depressed. Is it possible that Cleopas' wife Mary actually had seen Jesus crucified? That's what John 19 suggests. These disciples had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. And so it was a very long, sad walk home. Then the risen Christ, who nobody knows, approaches Cleopas and his friend. The risen one is incognito. He's hidden in plain sight. In truth, their eyes are kept from recognizing him. The one nobody knows acts like he knows nothing. He questions these two friends about what they're talking about, and they cannot believe that this stranger knows nothing of what had happened to Jesus. Now, maybe there's a little hint of humor here as these two walking partners try to explain to the risen one what happened to the crucified one. Then they explain that some of the women claimed they had seen a vision of angels saying Jesus was yet alive. And at this point, this complete unknown can take it no more. He scolds Cleopas and his friend for their unbelief. And then he launches into a Bible study, ranging from Moses through all the prophets. And here is the subject. It was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and enter into his glory. And I've often speculated what that Bible study consisted of, but here's my take on what he said. God was in the business of guiding suffering slaves into freedom. God was in the business of bringing forlorn exiles back home to Jerusalem. God is always bringing suffering people back into new life. And so it was with the Messiah, from suffering into triumph. And when these two disciples heard this story, their hearts burned within them as this unknown opened to them the key to understanding Scripture. And when they came to Emmaus, they urged this insightful stranger to join them for dinner. It was late. And during the meal, this one nobody knew broke the bread and blessed it. And then their eyes were open and they recognized him. This complete unknown was revealed as the one they loved and cherished. And just that quickly, he was gone. Vanished from their sight. How astonished they must have been. And then Cleopas and his friend take off for Jerusalem as fast as they can. By the way, have you noticed in all the resurrection narratives how much running takes place? This astonishing news sends you off in a full gallop. And these two arrive breathlessly into the city of David, only to hear that Peter has in fact seen the Lord. It's never narrated for us. But finally, they get to tell their own story. And here's the punchline, I suppose. the one we did not recognize was made known to us in the breaking of bread. Well, the breaking of bread, the pouring of the cup, is the moment when our eyes can be opened as well. And yet there is this mystery about this man nobody knows. Perhaps Jesus will always remain to some extent an elusive presence in our lives. How is it that Jesus is present when two or three are gathered in his name? How is it that Jesus knows our every sorrow, as the old hymn says? How is it that Jesus intercedes for all the saints before the throne of God? It is a deep, deep mystery how that complete unknown came to them on the road to Emmaus. Now, Albert Schweitzer concluded his book, The Quest of the Historical Jesus, by describing this unknown carpenter from Nazareth encountering simple fishermen at the Sea of Galilee. Listen to how Schweitzer describes this encounter. He comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old, by the lakeside. He came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same words he spoke to them, "Follow me." And he sets to us the task which he has to fulfill in our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings which they will pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. And in all of our experiences, whether on the road or at the table or in your most difficult moments, he comes to us still, that mysterious presence, the one who wishes to be known and loved and adored and served, the one who would redeem the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.